You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in to a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Here on this July the 12th, 2022, great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you, Mark Dukes across the way, Ben on the other side of the glass, and you, our listener, the most important and most vital part of the equation. Glad to have you aboard here today on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM here in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. We are presented each and every day on the program by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website at dupaco.com. Good show lined up for you. Rob Gray covers the Iowa State Cyclones, formerly of Cyclone Fanatic, now of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, will be joining us. We'll talk expansion, his thoughts about the Big 12, Iowa State recruiting, football fall camp coming up, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe even bridges in Ames, which seems to be a hot-button topic. And maybe the Iowa State-Kansas State Twitter rivalry. I don't know. We may get to all that with Rob coming up on the program here today. We will kick that around here in just a little bit. And a whole lot more. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you, our listener. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Phone line as well, 319-366-1600, as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here today. And I told Spencer, no, in no uncertain terms, that is not good fair food. That is not good backyard food. That is not good any food when you put gummy bears on a bratwurst. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon to everyone out there. And I couldn't agree more, and I told Spencer that as I walked by the office. I said, Spencer, if we never agree on anything else, it's the gummy bear brat. And then I walk in here, and Ben, our producer on the other side of the glass, he's had one. He's had a gummy bear brat. Ben, get in here and describe it. A gummy bear brat at the Wisconsin State Fair. I didn't know it was in West Allis.
Oh, yeah.
For one thing.
Well, yeah, the Wisconsin State Fairgrounds, the Milwaukee Mile.
Speed skating capital of the world.
That as well. But the Milwaukee Mile is there, which should be utilized a lot more for racing. Okay, did you have a gummy bear brat at the Wisconsin State Fair, or was this somewhere else?
I had one in Amana.
In Amana, okay.
It was terrible. Never, ever tried it.
The brat was good, though. The brat part, fine. Right? But you put the gummy bears on the brat.
No. It had gummy bears inside of the brat.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Really? Does this other one have it on top?
It does.
It's on top.
Yeah, this one in Amana had the gummy bears inside of the brat, so there was no
avoiding it. No, that's worse.
It was really bad.
You couldn't finish it, right?
No, I didn't finish it.
Oh, man. Wow. Thank you, Ben. Inside the bratwurst. Yeah, I can't do that. Nope. Give me a little mustard, maybe a little sauerkraut, some onions, boom, done.
Minus the onions, I'm with you. Sauerkraut and mustard.
And Jeff on the Dex line, sauerkraut. There you go. 319-366-1600. They make great bratwurst at Amana.
No question about it.
No question about it. But I would not buy one that has the gummy bears in it.
This had to be a special occasion that Ben attended.
Could be.
Yeah, he's
special
yes.
Occasion.
Yeah.
All right, very good. 10 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock for a Tuesday edition of the program. We will try to cleanse our palates now and get into the news of the day. We'll talk golf tomorrow. Brian Haas will join us here in studio for our edition of Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Looking forward to the Open Championship and a whole lot more. But for the first time today, since he missed the United States Open, Tiger Woods had a chance to weigh in And it turns out, go off on the live tour today at his news conference at the Old Course at St. Andrews. And Tiger did not mince words today.
He didn't. He said the live players are turning their backs on the sport. And Tiger hasn't talked much, if anything, about this because he hasn't been playing, hasn't been having news conferences. This is an opportunity for him. And by the way, parenthetically, I would say I'm tired of talking about LIV, but apparently other people aren't, and this is Tiger's pretty much first opportunity to address it. He said he disagrees with the players going to the tour. He said, I think that they've done what they've done is they've turned their backs on what has allowed them to get in this position. Some players have never got a chance to even experience it, meaning the younger players who have barely tipped their toes in the water on the PGA Tour. Tiger had much more to say, but this is the first opportunity to really sound off on these LIV players. And interestingly, the Open has really doubled down on all this. They didn't invite Greg Norman to the Celebration of Champions, two-time winner. They didn't have any news conferences for LIV players and gave some of them a pretty poor tee time. And we'll get to that.
Which makes me believe that the Royal and Ancient, which is the governing body as far as the Open Championship is concerned, you don't have to read very far into the between the lines, Mark, to kind of take their stance that I don't think they are going to allow the LIV players, the LIV players, to play in the Open Championship starting next year. That's just my take. That's reading between the lines right there.
A lot of these players are going to play themselves out of it anyway because they cannot accumulate world ranking points. They will this week with the British Open, the Open Championship. But the LIV events, 54 holes, no cut, and up to now not recognized in the world golf rankings. And these rankings of the players playing out there, the Patrick Reeds and whatnot, who, by the way, in his practice round today, wore an LIV hat at the Home of Golf.
Which did not go over well, by the way.
No. But, yeah, some of these players are just going to play themselves out of it because world golf rankings has a lot to do with getting into majors.
That is true. And Tiger also didn't mince words about a question that a lot of people had in the back of their minds, and that is, you know, he came out and said, you know, what's the incentive for these guys to practice, basically? I mean, you're going to go out, play eight times a year. You're going to make anywhere between, I mean, at the very least, $200,000 per event. I mean,
last place is $150,000.
Plus the team. Money in there. I mean, I believe Brandon Grace made something like $7 million in the win over in Oregon with the team event and the individual event put together. And, you know, Tiger said, what's the incentive to go out there and practice for these events? You're going to make all this scratch. Why, you know, it's easy to say at 5 o'clock in the evening, I don't need to go putt or chip or anything like that. And I agree with him. I 110% agree with Tiger. How about that, Mark? Mark that down. 314, July 12, 2022. I agree 110% with Tiger Woods.
Noted.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And actually, a lot of folks who cover golf are kind of like you. I think this is the only time this week you're going to really hear about the LIV Tour. Other than what Greg Norman is going to say in the background, and that has been kind of shut down by the Royal and Ancient. But this is a celebration of golf because this is a milestone. It's the 150th edition of the Open Championship. It's at St. Andrews for a reason. It was supposed to be last year. They were supposed to be at Royal St. George's this year. They switched those two in the rota because they wanted because there was no British Open 2 years ago due to the pandemic. Everything is centered right now on just celebrating the 150th Open Championship.
As it should be.
As it should
be. As it should be. 3830 on the text line, I believe, speaking about Brendan Grace, he's made $7 million in two events.
Pretty good. He may have made more than that, though. I mean, that might be just his individual money. I don't know. They get team money, you know, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a team event inside an individual event. I mean, they were talking about Dustin Johnson in the breakdown on CBS Sports and ranking the top 22 players. And they said, well, Dustin Johnson's coming off of two top 10s in the LIV Tour. Well, there are 48 players. 30 of them you never heard of. He better make a top 10.
Speaking of the champions, there's a hilarious photo out there of the past champions, including Zach Johnson, standing next to Francesco Molinari. But further to his right is John Daly. Everybody's wearing a blue or black blazer, except John Daly. He's wearing a red blazer with some sort of insignias on it. And right in front of him is Sandy Lyle in kilts.
Good
or
for
kilt. Is it a kilt or?
Kilt.
Multiple kilts?
A kilt.
A kilt.
Singular.
Okay.
Let's go with the singular on that one. 319-366-1600 at 317. Rob Gray is going to join us in about 15 minutes or so. We'll talk Iowa State athletics with Rob, who covers the Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. So we got golf news out there to discuss. Unfortunately, we also have a passing as far as the coaching ranks are concerned. Former coach. And I think you put it very well, Mark. Very star-studded, star-crossed career, if you will, for this individual. But Gary Moeller, the former coach of the Michigan Wolverines, passing away.
Former Ohio State Buckeye player and ascended to the head coaching position at Michigan in the 1990s, where he won 44 games, lost 13, and tied 3. Yes, there were ties back then.
Google it, kids.
4-1 in bowls, 3 Big Ten championships in his brief career, and he had a bad night on the town one night, which he got intoxicated, put his hands on police officers, and a week later was dismissed at Michigan. He surfaced with the Detroit Lions and ascended to its head coaching position late one season and won, I think, 4 or 5 games, and was going to be the head coach the following year until the Lions, in their infinite wisdom, hired Matt Millen as the GM, who promptly fired Gary Moeller. But Moeller put together a terrific... He was at Illinois, as you remember as well. Didn't have near as much success. But at Michigan, he had a good run. And one fateful night changed the trajectory of his career.
Yeah, and he was done. And... I think as far as an X's and O's guy, Gary Moeller, I didn't think was that bad. I thought he was a pretty darn good X's and O's coach and always had his Michigan teams ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, even in the 1990s, there are certain things you cannot do outside the football complex and outside the football program and outside the football field, and Gary Moeller did that.
Yeah, and it's I don't know where to direct you, but Mitch Albom, the award-winning writer at the Detroit Free Press, or he was anyway, wrote a very interesting piece about Moeller, and he advocated that maybe he should have stayed on. He could have imparted a lot of wisdom in young people as to what not to do, but that's not the way Michigan felt.
Did not. They went in a different direction out there. So Gary Moeller passing away, the former Michigan coach. 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. July 12th, Mark, it always rings a very, very, I don't want to say special meaning for me and other fans of a certain team that, yes, lost again today, ironically by a score of 4-1. I'll get to that in a moment. First game of two, a doubleheader with the Guardians of Cleveland. And like you said, it's more entertaining now to watch the post game for White Sox games than it is the actual White Sox game, Mark, because Ozzie Guillen is about ready to just absolutely tear apart the entire studio. First time yesterday, came out and did say a few things against the leadership of this organization, and did so a little bit again today. But at any rate, I digress. 4-1 was also the score of the first game of a doubleheader, ironically enough, back on July the 12th, 1979, at Old Comiskey Park, when the White Sox hosted Sparky Anderson and the Detroit Tigers.
Did they hold the second game?
No, they did not, Mark, because that was the infamous Disco Demolition Night. Happy 43rd anniversary to Disco Demolition Night. And if you had Steve Dahl still around and kicking with us on the 43rd anniversary, bully to you, who was the quote-unquote brains behind the whole thing, or the lead behind Disco Demolition Night.
Quite a day in history in Major League Baseball. And I know you're going to know this, but folks out there, 43 years ago, who completed that season as manager of the Chicago White Sox?
Was that the Don Kessinger year?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who completed that season?
Oh, I have no idea.
Your manager now of the Chicago White Sox.
Boy, it just keeps getting better, doesn't it? Well, he was... I could say something very rude here, but I will pass because it's too easy at this point. But yes, Disco Demolition Night, if you do not know the background, in between games of a doubleheader with the Detroit Tigers, local radio personality from The Loop in Chicago. The station's still around, no longer known as The Loop. But at any rate, they were anti-disco in the disco era. Decided to, for 98 cents, Mark, you could get into the ball game with 98 cents and a disco record or album. A 45 or an album. I don't think they really cared which one. They were going to put them in a box and blow up the box in center field between games. Sounds like a great idea, right? Especially when your team is awful and not watchable. But, yeah, it turned ugly very, very quickly. First of all, they blew up center field. Please replace your divot. They tried. It didn't work. And then estimated 5,000 to 7,000 people went over the fences onto the outfield. As one person said, it was the way Woodstock should have been. I'll just let you know from the smells around Comiskey Park that night. Oh, man.
Quite a scene.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Chip Carey, wasn't it? For I'm not sure that whom they are referring to, but Harry was there. Harry tried to get people off the field. They played Take Me Out to the Ball Game. They did not play the national anthem, but he was imploring people along with others to get off the field. And Mike Vec, who was Bill Vec's son, who Bill Vec was basically blackballed from baseball after that. Sold the team shortly after that to the group that's pretty much still running things now. And Mike Vec took the fall, I think, even more. He was out of baseball for a long time. He said, he goes, the first guy coming across or down the fence, I was okay with. He goes, as soon as I saw the second one, I knew my career was done. Mm. Sox had to forfeit the second game. Ken Kravick was actually out on the mound warming up as they were going to fire off the records. And he took shelter immediately. Hey, it is pretty fascinating if you want to go back and read about it.
I'll tell you what, maybe Todd's got plans for this, Todd Bromelkamp, but he could have some fun remembering some guys on this team.
Oh, I know 80. No, Steve Dahl, 86-99, not Chip Carey.
Harry Chappas.
He was there.
Backup infielder.
Yeah, he was there.
George Orta, DH.
I love George Orta.
Chet Lemon, what a
good player.
Great player he was. Yeah.
And that's about it.
Ralph Gar,
yeah. He could hit. He could hit. Still remember where I was on Disco Demolition Night. Playing wiffle ball in the backyard of I'm sure, one of our listeners right now. And still remember that to this day, that evening. But yeah, not a famous night, but an infamous night as far as baseball history is concerned. Sparky Anderson would not let his team come out and play the second game. Lee McPhail, the American League president, was called. It was a forfeit that turned into, I mean, either way, the White Sox lost the game. Postponement that turned into a forfeit. So, whew, there you go. That was after the shorts, too.
Did I mention the manager, one of the managers that year is still the manager for the White Sox?
Did.
Okay,
you did.
All right.
You did. You're just eating this up, aren't you? As long as that man is still in the dugout, Twins are going to be just fine.
Now with the Guardians clipping at their heels now. And
Cleveland winning today, 4-1. They'll play another game unless there's a Disco Demolition Night slated for Cleveland coming up.
La Russa criticized because his team was down 4-0 or 4-1, runner on second for the Guardians, and left-handed hitter for the Ramirez up and with an 0-1 count. And La Russa decides to give him a free pass.
Steve Stone even had a little bit of contemplation on that one today.
Ozzie Guillen said, why throw the first pitch if you're going to walk him? Well, my response was, it took Tony that long to think about it.
Wake up? Oh, I'm sorry. And Scott is listening. Hello, Scott.
It worked out because there were two out, and the White Sox got the third out. Made La Russa look good, but strange.
I don't remember who won the wiffle ball game, though. Back in 1979. 319-366-1600 here at 329 on the gym class program on KGYM. We're going to get to Rob Gray, talk Iowa State Cyclones with Rob. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. But first, an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update. Thanks to Jamie and Chris and Dave and everybody out at Emil's. Stop on by First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Find them online at emilshideaway.com. Patio and restaurant opening at 4 o'clock today.
Iowa football has landed another 2023 recruit. His name is Khalil Tate, 6'3", 180. Three-star safety out of Chicago. He was down to Iowa and Wisconsin. He also visited Purdue. A couple items from the Open Championship. First-round tee times have been announced. Zach Johnson will play with Billy Horschel and Corey Connors at 2:36 a.m. Central Time on Thursday.
I will not be up for that. Sorry, Zach.
Finally, Jack Nicklaus was named an honorary citizen of St. Andrews earlier today. He's only the third person to have that honor bestowed on him. Bobby Jones and in the 18th century, Benjamin Franklin. Jack was very choked up.
That was pretty darn good company. Yeah, and no greater honor for a great man like Jack Nicklaus. No doubt about that. 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We'll take a break, come back, and when we return, we're going to talk to Rob Gray. Plenty to talk about as far as Iowa State is concerned, and we'll do that when we return on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have plenty of sunshine today. Temperatures will be rising into the low 80s, and humidity will be on the lower side, though it's still going to be pretty warm out there. Later tonight, it will definitely feel that more comfortable air as temperatures drop down into the low 60s under clear skies. Tomorrow and Thursday, we'll have plenty of sunshine, temperatures in the low to mid 80s, humidity remaining low. It will start to go back up by Friday and the start of the weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Good morning, boss.
Yeah, what's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk?
You mean the hold desk?
Huh?
Every time I call, they put me on hold. Or tell me someone will call me back in a couple of hours. We don't have a couple of hours.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, in that case, you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
IT Solutions continually monitors their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hold desk for you to call to tell them about your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you get help now, never a hold desk.
We need to get our work done.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer. And under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email Julie at KZIA.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Presenting the world's worst combos. Using a chainsaw while blindfolded.
Hey, watch out!
Performing surgery while roller skating.
Whoa!
And being high while driving. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get an OWI. This ad brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
It is 3:33 on the Gym Class for this Tuesday here on KGYM. Thank you for joining us. And stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn coming your way next, beginning at 4 o'clock right here with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Scott and Mark with you, the Gym Class, presented by DePaco Community Credit Union here on KGYM. And we turn our attention toward the Iowa State Cyclones, as Iowa State right now, along with the rest of the college football world, getting ready for fall camp. And that'll be coming up sooner than you think in Ames and other locales, plus Big 12 Media Day around the corner. No doubt about that. We'll touch base on all those things. Our friend Rob Gray joining us right now. Give him a follow on Twitter and read his stuff as he follows the Iowa State Cyclones and reports on Iowa State for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And, relatively back from vacation anyway. Are you ready to go full bore now till football?
Well, yeah, except it's really not full bore until football. So, but yeah, a lot of stuff to keep track of. But yeah, like you said, it'll be here before we know it. And I'm looking forward to it, certainly.
Well, unless, you know, full bore includes, you know, the Twitter battle between Iowa State and Kansas State that snuck up on us on Sunday.
Yeah, that's. It's awfully peculiar. I don't understand why an Iowa State and a Kansas State can't just get along. You know, they're you think they're kind of similar fan bases. I guess K-State had their run 20-plus years ago where they were really, really, really nationally relevant, and that must be fueling some of the rancor from that side of things. But it's always amusing to see what kind of new Twitter spats can bubble up, for sure.
Rob, I want to follow up on a piece you did about a couple months ago on why Matt Campbell is excited and not nervous about these Cyclones.
Okay.
Why?
I'll elaborate. My short-term memory isn't always the best, but at his core, Campbell considers himself a teacher. I remember talking to him once, and he may have talked to a bunch of us about this. I'm sure he has, but he would have been satisfied in life being a high school teacher and a coach. You know, he just wants to be in that position. Now, he happens now to be a multimillionaire at a major college football program, which I'm sure he's perfectly fine with as well. But I think it harkens back to that. And when there's uncertainty, when there's turnover, he knows who's back and who's next. And I think he truly gets very excited to see how that next group of guys is going to perform when he says, quote unquote, the lights come on. And he's not sure how they will. But he said that's part of the excitement. So, I mean, they do have some nice core pieces back, but again, a lot of uncertainty in terms of a new starting quarterback and Hunter Deckers and, you know, a new lead running back and, you know, some pieces at tight end that, and along every part of the defense, even though there's some good anchor pieces like Will McDonald on the line, Isaiah Lee interior line, Orion Vance at linebacker and Anthony Johnson and others in the secondary. So, I think he's always excited to get ready for a season, but he really dug into the details of why the uncertainty portends the opportunity for those people he's been observing and coaching behind the scenes, and again, how excited he is to see what they can do come Saturdays.
It's pretty obvious there's less pressure this year for this Iowa State football team, and I think that reading into that and reading that piece as well, that's one of the reasons I think that Matt Campbell is truly excited about what's in the future anyway for 2022 and perhaps beyond that. Yes, but Iowa State fans still expecting a good season though, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I think the coaches and the players do as well. I mean, when you look back at last season on paper, very much a disappointment to go 7-6. After a 9-win season previously and so many big parts of the team back. But you also look at it, they weren't that far off. I mean, almost every loss save one, they're a play away or a break away from you know, really having a great chance to win those games, most of which were very close. You know, that doesn't solve the wound of not being able to perform in those clutch moments, unfortunately, in those games. You know, some of it was really failures of execution, and a couple of them were just some bad breaks, like Texas Tech kicking the longest field goal in the history of their school. But they shouldn't have put themselves in a position for Texas Tech to have a chance to win that game. So I think they like the talent that's coming back. I think they like the new people, and they certainly expect to go out there and compete to win on a weekly basis.
Rob, were you surprised one media member picked Iowa State to win the Big 12 championship?
Well, I'm extremely surprised. But, I mean, they've been top three or four for quite a while now. But the idea that a team that brings back, yes, some very, very important pieces like all-time sacks leader Will McDonald and others still is so inexperienced, I think, I don't know, that's utterly surprising. I don't think you could pick anybody real, in my opinion, I don't think you could pick anybody but Baylor, Oklahoma, or Oklahoma State at this point. But, you know, to each their own, I guess.
Rob Gray joining us here. We talk Iowa State Cyclones here on the Gym Class on KGYM. You mentioned Hunter Deckers. If you are an aficionado of the state of Iowa, as far as high school football is concerned, you know this kid. He's had a terrific prep career at West Sioux out in northwest Iowa, has a gun for an arm, very good athlete. has dropped a little weight, has become trimmer. What else do we know about Hunter Deckers? He's got the keys to the car now going into the fall.
Well, I believe it was all Big 12 receiver Xavier Hutchinson that said he has, a superstar quality to him, quote unquote. So when a player of that caliber speaks that highly of a guy that hasn't played meaningful snaps really, Deckers has shown flashes both in his ability to throw, which, as you noted, is highly touted, but also to run. And I don't know. I believe all the pressure is going to be coming internally for him, and I think that's probably how it's always been, kind of a small-town guy, a big fish in a smallish pond. But I think he's got all the confidence in the world. His teammates must have it for him as well, for Hutchinson to say that about him.
Rob, what's going on with the physical plan over there with bridges and sidewalks and whatnot?
Everyone loves the bridge.
Well, for fan experience, to be able to safely and easily get to a main entrance to Jack Trice Stadium from all most of the tailgate lots, is huge for them. And they have done a lot of major improvements, whether it be the Sports Performance Center and other things they've done at the Bergstrom Complex. And so they're doing a lot of things to try to enhance the fan experience. And a few people went a little, but maybe one person went a little overboard about the bridge, but it's certainly a welcome development for people that were, wrangling with traffic and, are people going to stop? Are they not? It's a nice feature for the fan base for sure.
Yeah, it is. Looks good as well. And another guy I wanted to hit upon with you was Orion Vance, and of course we know him very well over here. Did a marvelous career at Cedar Rapids, Washington, and has had a good career at Iowa State. Maybe overshadowed by Mike Rose, does not have Mike alongside anymore. Is this Orion's year?
I think it could be. I mean, if you look throughout his career, and there's been very few seasons in which he's been fully healthy, for one. But when he has been, he performed extremely well in bowl games. He's really good in blitz packages, and so he can pressure the quarterback well, but he's gotten better in coverage too. Always a sure tackler. So, I mean, if he can have a fully healthy season, Orion Vance could put up extremely impressive numbers that would be right in line with many of the best linebackers that have played at Iowa State, in my opinion. Now, again, staying healthy has been an issue, and it's tough at that position. I mean, Mike Rose was perpetually banged up and obviously didn't play in the bowl game last year for a variety of reasons, but he was certainly banged up. That's at least a little bit of it. Yeah, he's got all the talent. He's got the want to, as coaches like to talk about. He's got the desire, and I think he's, he's very frank about how he wasn't really ready for college when he got there, but he was really heartened by the belief and the faith that the coaching staff put in him, his teammates put in him, and he's grown into, as Coach Campbell would say, one of the premier leaders on the team, even though he was, in terms of vocalness, kind of a more quiet guy, just do it on the field guy before that. So, I mean, I truly believe his ceiling is extremely high. Again, with the caveat that it has to stay healthy, unlike last season.
Rob, we know teams are going to go. Teams are going to come to the Big 12 in the next couple of years. Beyond that, next couple, 3 years, what's this conference going to look like in your mind? Does it depend? Is the Big 12 going to be proactive? Does it depend on other dominoes falling in other areas? What are your thoughts?
I think it's going to be somewhat dependent on other dominoes unless they can really fracture what's left of the Pac-12. By Dennis Dodd's account, which is I consider a very trusted source over at CBS Sports, the Big 12 was quickly getting involved in trying to get meetings with the two Arizona schools and Colorado and in Utah to get BYU a natural rival and all that. Now, is that enough to make them the third best? I mean, other reports include that they were trying to talk to Oregon and in Washington as well, but those schools seem to think like, I know Phil Knight's been, well, what was the story that he's been cold calling people or something? That's what the head of Nike and the it's gotten down to, but it maybe doesn't want much interest in the Big 12. I think the Big 12 will need to add, obviously, but I think they're in a pretty good position. I think the Pac-12 is in a poor position unless they really do manage to partner up with the ACC in some way. And the ACC is in a difficult situation. In one sense, it's good that they've got their TV rights for another, 13 years or whatever it is, and money supposedly guaranteed. But they're precarious. I mean, Clemson, Florida State, others may be looking, other places, given the moves of Big Ten and the SEC have made. I think it's the race to trying to be the next conference behind those two more or less super conferences, even though some of the teams are far from super. But obviously the bulk is super. I think they can be that third, but so many things have to fall into place. But the fact that they were proactive immediately after the USC UCLA to the Big Ten news came out, I think, is a positive sign that that they're going to be aggressive in this new wave of realignment.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see if that's going to continue this year, or maybe a moratorium for a little bit. We'll have to wait and see anyway. Recruiting news, things going well for Matt Campbell. They're also going very well for TJ Otzelberger on the recruiting front.
Yeah, obviously TJ has a lot to build off of with from 2-22 to the Sweet 16, which still is mind-boggling to me that somehow those things. I remember when all those guys, we met those guys, you know, Jazz, that all those people, A, could buy in and be the perfect kind of role players. Isaiah Brockington obviously had the starring role and elevated his game far beyond what it had been before, even though everyone thought he was a talented player. So he's got that to pitch. And obviously they got some talented transfers to come in this round too, to help fill some gaps. Obviously the weirdness of Tyrese Hunter transferring in conference to Texas and Brockington not taking a COVID year, as expected, I would say, and trying to make it in the pros. And on the football front, I mean, Campbell's recruiting rankings just keep going up. From the J.J. Cole kid in Ankeny, whose stock keeps rising as he participates in a lot of elite camps, to a lot of people from a lot of places in the country, a few from Florida, certainly a lot from the upper Midwest. I think they've done pretty darn well in state with some of the targets that they've gone after. And they've beaten out some pretty good schools that also offered some of these recruits. So, yeah, it just seems, Campbell and Steph really like recruiting, and they're good at it, and it shows. And
we lost Rob. He was getting ready for a big finish, too. We'll get him on. Yeah, we'll get him back on the horn there. We lost Rob. Mark, we didn't do it. You were watching me. I did not touch anything.
No.
It was the biggest surprise to Ben as it was to us.
And maybe to Rob.
And maybe to Rob as well. I only had one more question for him. So, yeah, we'll get him back on and get that question ready to go here and get him back on the horn right here. And I think we got him back here. I didn't touch anything, Rob. I don't know what happened there, man.
My phone was sitting here right next to me. I guess technology fails us all at some point, and I'm just gonna figure it's my fault somehow. So I apologize.
That's fine. That's fine. Hey, just before we let you go here, we aren't in the fall camp yet or anything like that. We kind of kidded around about you being the guy that picked Iowa State. But realistically, where do you see this team in the fall? Where do you think they're going to fall as far as the Big 12? that Baylor game right out of the chute, going to be very, very big at home. If Iowa State can somehow get that one, next two are certainly winnable, going to Kansas and then Kansas State at home, and that could get something really going.
Yeah, it could. And obviously they've got to do well in the non-conference as well. I truly believe the Big 12 this season, I'd say third through eighth is kind of up for grabs to some extent. And I hate to be that ambiguous, but I truly believe Iowa State could fit in any of those categories. I believe that they can, that they have the talent certainly to have another winning season. But to really challenge the top tier, I don't think that's likely. But then again, there are some people that haven't played yet that might really shine. But I think they're probably realistically middle of the pack, which could be a 7-8 win season. And not too bad, but, time will tell. But that's where I've got them pegged right now.
TCU underappreciated, by the way, in the preseason poll. I think the Horned Frogs are going to be fun to watch, no doubt about that. And, hey, when was the last time you had a 1 o'clock kickoff in a game that you covered? You have one to start off against Southeast Missouri.
Gosh. It probably hasn't been that long ago, but it seems like it has been. It's either a night game, or you get the occasional 11 a.m., not like folks in the Big Ten get all the tons of 11 a.m.s, or the 2:30. Yeah, 1 o'clock. It's a nice deadline. It's a nice deadline kickoff for that game for sure.
My last one might have been Coe Cornell back in the day. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder if one of the UNI games in the past maybe was like that. But yeah, it's definitely unusual, but definitely welcome in this era of early deadlines for the print product for sure.
Drake and Grandview may not even kick off at 1 o'clock in their games. I don't know. We'll see on that. Hey, Rob, appreciate it. Keep up the great work with the Gazette covering the Cyclones, and we'll read your stuff there and give you a follow on Twitter as well. And thanks for the time.
Awesome. Great to talk to you, fellas. Take care.
All right. Rob Gray joining us here on the Gym Class and KGYM. Take a break. Come back. Wrap things up after this.
Get boosted odds with Elite Sportsbook. Take advantage of Elite Sportsbook's new Boosted Daily Specials. Check the app and website daily for boosted odds. It's all on Elite Sportsbook. And don't forget, new signups can take advantage of their first bet being risk-free up to $500. Download the app today and play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
3:54 on the Gym Class on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, it'll be Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Looking forward to that. Talking golf, your questions about golf. Dave Rowe is going to join us from the city of Cedar Rapids as Ellis is going to have a red letter day coming up this week, later on, and with the brand new clubhouse. So we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow. We'll preview the Open Championship as well. So lots in the world of golf to talk about tomorrow. Brian Haas will be here to answer your questions about your game as well. And that will be on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class.
More postseason baseball and softball to be played. State berths to be had. We'll talk to Jeff Linder Thursday about the state softball tournament.
Yeah, we will. Last night, 1A and 2A fields were set for Harlan Rogers Park next week. 3A, 4A, and 5A will get set tonight, plus the 1A and 2A state baseball tournament pairings will be set tonight. Don't think there's going to be any rain to interrupt things tonight, so I think we're going to get all the games in. And some good ones around eastern Iowa and around the state, so Best of luck to all of our local teams involved in that. And should mention as well, the Big Ten always comes up with their lists each year, Mark, as far as their sportsmanship winners are concerned. And we should throw a congratulations out to the two winners as far as the University of Iowa is concerned. And the male winner, Mark, very interesting. The fact that his last name is McCaffrey. Mm. How about that? Patrick McCaffrey is the outstanding sportsmanship winner on the male side for the Hawkeyes.
Seemed a little surprised on Twitter when he reacted to that, but congratulations to him.
Bailey Ortega is the female sportsmanship, outstanding sportsmanship award winner. She is from the volleyball team. And, yeah, congratulations to those two as the Big Ten puts that out annually. And nice little feather in the cap for those two individuals and the rest of them, the other 13 institutions as well. Speaking of the Big Ten, countdown to kickoff continuing today as I believe Minnesota mm-hmm. is up today with Todd and Alex. So tune in between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. They will also have tickets for Oktoberfest in Marion for you to win, where I guarantee I don't think they're going to have a bratwurst with gummy bears.
You know you're German if you're listening from 4 to 6.
I took German in high school. I am part German. So I like to think I know a little bit about it, but I had no clue.
No Gesundheit to you.
I had no clue about the word from yesterday. Well done, gentlemen. On that. So that'll be between 4 and 6. If you missed anything on our program today, podcast will be available soon after the completion of our program at kgymradio.com as well as Apple or Spotify. As you mentioned, Jeff Linder will join us on Thursday. Tomorrow it is Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. We will talk golf with you on the program on the eve of the Open Championship as they will play the 150th edition at St. Andrews, starting bright and early. And I mean, well, it won't be bright here, but it'll be early on Thursday morning. Have a good night, Mark.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex next right here on KGYM.
Other banks go out of their way to make redeeming credit card rewards needlessly complicated, like how they require minimums or force you to use